My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York on Odyssey Sports Station. It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan and the CBS Sports Network.
For the Bill Fullerton Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, it's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network, and wherever you are in the free Odyssey app. Good Monday morning. We've got everybody here but Boomer. He's got the week off. We've got Jerry for a day. Al Dukes is back from his miserable staycation where he was dealing with all sorts of things that people should not be dealing with on vacation, and was on the radio station more, I think, during his vacation than he is when he's working. Just popping on here and there. But we're going to have a good one today as baseball is back. And we've got lots of interesting stories going on in sports and all over the world. Good morning, Jerry. How are you? Good
morning, G. What's going on, man? Doing better than the baseball teams, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I mean, what the hell, man? I am starting to get really, really nervous about us not having a lot, if at all, Yankee playoff baseball. And I know it seems crazy for them not to make the playoffs at this point, but they just are bad.
Yeah.
And they've got too many guys. I know this is such a simplistic view on this, but they've got too many guys that do nothing for this team. I mean, from Gleyber Torres to DJ LeMahieu, I mean, those two are the biggest. Alex Verdugo, who has done nothing. He's like 0 for his last 10,000. I mean, there are too many holes in the lineup. And once Jordan Carlos Stanton got hurt and was out with the production that he had, it exposed all of that. And when Luis Severino is in his group text with all his buddies, if people didn't see that story, saying that, you know, talking trash before the Subway Series, saying that you guys only have two good hitters, I mean, he's not lying. That's all they've got right now, and they've got a rotation that is essentially a toss-up.
No, shambles, actually. Yeah. And there was one, if you watch the highlight package from yesterday, by any chance, one of the Tampa Bay announcers, I don't know if it was radio or TV, when Judge flies out, he said, well, they got through Judge. They got through, like, meaning, yeah, we're good.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's really remarkable when you look at that lineup. You know, Ben Rice, I think, has been a nice player, and he's had a couple of really good moments, a couple of really good games.
Flash in the pan spot.
He might be, don't know. But I will tell you, when you look at what comes up after Soto and Judge, it's not much. Now, Volpe's been good, you know, since the All-Star break. He's been, and he might be, very well could be, the key to them getting back on track, I suppose. But when, no disrespect, but Austin Wells is your cleanup hitter, And you can take your OPS and stick it where the sun don't shine. He's batting 210.
Yeah.
So when Austin Wells comes up with a guy in scoring position, I got a batter that's hitting 210. Not really confident he's going to do much of anything. And I don't know. It's just there's a lot of, as you said, nothing after that.
Yeah. I mean, and you think about just the disappointing. Well, now you mentioned Volpe. Hopefully he breaks out of it. But for the most part, after a great start, he has been
slow,
pedestrian at best.
Yep.
Gleyber Torres is a guy that shouldn't even be on this team right now. It's just, and everybody is pointing to these things like, you know, Aaron Boone's got to fire him up. Or Aaron Judge, I heard this morning driving in with C-Mac. Aaron Judge, caller calls up. Aaron Judge has to get in some guys' faces in the dugout. What is that going to do when these guys just stink?
Nothing.
I mean, there are guys that are done. You can make a case that Giancarlo Stanton comes back. I mean, we got evidence of the contrary, too. But you can make a case that he comes back and is good again and adds to this lineup offensively in a positive way. Give me a case that Alex Verdugo, Gleyber Torres, Trent Grisham, DJ LeMahieu, Austin Wells, any of these guys, and maybe you can make a case that Volpe figures it out and gets back, but any of those other guys, make me a case that they are going to catch fire and they are going to contribute and make this lineup deeper. I'm sorry, but you're just going on blind faith if you believe that.
Well, I'll make it worse. Now make a case for me that anybody other than a guy named Gerrit Cole is going to give you seven innings when he goes out there and makes a start.
Exactly.
They're awful. Nestor Cortes, the whole thing about him was bad on the road, good at home. Had that go the other day. Not great. Marcus Stroman, like him, don't like him, whatever. He's a five-inning pitcher, and you're throwing it to the bullpen. It's a mess top to bottom, and this is a team that still, when you look at the standings, is still significantly way above 500. At one point, was almost 30 games over 500. I know Stanton was there, but essentially the same group of players. They look like a shell of themselves in the same season.
Yeah, which is similar to 2022, but this drop-off has been worse and it's been faster. And it was way more unexpected because of the way that they look like a different team, different energy, the Alex Verdugo dogs thing and Juan Soto bringing a different personality. But, I mean, I know it's ups and downs. We get caught in this whole situation, and you've talked about many times about, you know, how we give up on teams early on in a baseball season. And, you know, when there's talent on a team, maybe you can't give up on them. There are teams that are just miserable that get off to 10-game under 500 starts and then remain there for the rest of the year. So I can't sit here and say that the Yankees can't figure it out. But as I'm trying to piece together, like, for example, all right, when you were standing by the Mets when they were terrible, you were saying, listen, there's too many good players on this team for them not to be 500. That's the thing that you stood on.
Yeah.
And they've come back and they've hovered around 500.
That's what they are. Yeah.
That's what they're doing.
Win me 82 games. Gay Mets.
Right. So they made it back there, and that's who they are now.
Yes.
So now if you're looking at the Yankees, just like I went through it, find me the way that they become elite again, like we thought they were going to be at the beginning of the season. You can't.
It's hard to do. The only thing I can point to is
trade deadline, because they're not going to go out and go crazy at the trade deadline.
I won't even go there. The only thing I could do is point to what they were in April and May, because other than that, LeMahieu seems shot at this point. We know that. I have been waiting for Gleyber Torres to be the Gleyber Torres from a couple of years ago. But even if he's hitting, even yesterday, the error he makes turns into a run. It just kills them. And he's had numerous mistakes in the field. So he has not been good at the plate. He's been poor in the field, you know, not all the time, but he makes bad mistakes at bad times. You go around the diamond. I don't know what Ben Rice is at this point. Trent Grisham, he has really good games, and then you don't hear from him for weeks. Alex Verdugo, no idea. It's really hard to make a case other than Soto. Here would be the case. Yesterday, they had opportunities. Soto had guys on base. He's got a 3-0 pitch, and he grounds into a double play, which could have been a big spot in that game.
Right.
I'm not even saying home run. If he pops one off the fence, puts one in the gap, game changes. The only thing I could point to is you've still got Gerrit Cole, you've still got Juan Soto, you've still got Aaron Judge. Somebody Anthony Volpe's been better since the All-Star break. Somebody has got to pick up the slack. Other than that, I can't make the case. And the pitching's a problem.
Yeah, and Luis Gil is someone that you don't know exactly what his future is going to be from a workload standpoint, which has got to be frustrating for every Yankee fan. I mean, if you want to tell me that you believe that Carlos Rodon, Marcus Stroman, and Nestor Cortez are going to come together and those guys are going to pitch their asses off for the rest of the year, okay. I mean, that's a guess.
Yeah,
and that's
a guess.
That's just being positive because the evidence is to the contrary on all of that. So, I mean, but that's what they need. They need the guys that are already on this team to be exponentially better than what they've been. And you can't have faith in that. Now, I mean, okay, let's say one of those guys, Nestor Cortez, Carlos Rodon, or Marcus Stroman, ends up having a great second half. And then you got Heal, who's still doing his thing, Gerrit Cole being good. And then maybe they go out and they make a deal for a starting pitcher at the deadline. And then the rotation looks a hell of a lot better and Stanton comes back. I mean, but how many ifs am I going into
here?
There's
a lot.
And you shouldn't have that many ifs when you're a team that has been, you know, that's 59-42. Shouldn't have that many ifs.
Right. Think about what you just said. 59-42, and it feels like they're 42-59.
Yeah.
Well, that's the last 5 weeks. Right. And again, the goofiness of this, to your point, you look at the way they played Friday night coming out of the break. Great. Terrific.
Yeah.
You couldn't have asked better. They forgot about the stupid blow-up ninth inning in Baltimore, which, had they closed that game out like they should have with the ground ball to Volpe, all of a sudden you would have been looking at a first-place team, you know, coming off a sweep, winning the first game out of the break against a team that has not played great this year in the Rays, and instead they lost that Sunday, they win the game Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday is like, what in the hell have we reverted back to? And I know it's recency bias. I get it. But you are right. That lineup is tough. I mean, there's just nothing there when you get past Judge in terms of what has gone on the last 6 weeks. And unless it is going to just snap of a finger, turn around, or someone's going to get hot, I don't know how it changes.
Yeah, and think about for the last number of years, we have talked about the Yankees, and one word comes to mind, even when they're winning, is they've been boring. Yep. They just haven't been interesting. They've been boring. There's nothing about them that create any juice outside of the Aaron Judge home run chase the last couple of years. And then the beginning of this season, it was the exact opposite. They are different. There's energy. The things, Brian Cashman, hats off to you. Finding guys, identifying guys to bring in here and not even really going out and signing free agents and adding to the payroll that much. You know, you brought in guys via trade. And man, this team, that energy that they were lacking is back. And now they're as boring as any team as they've been in the last, I don't know how many years. It is rough.
And I know a solo home run should not dictate a game unless you end up losing the game 1-0. But even yesterday, before you even settle in, they're down 1-0. Like, yeah. They're down in every game, it feels like.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. Right now, you can sit there, you can yell at Aaron Boone, go for it. You can yell at Brian Cashman, go for it. That's fine. I mean, everything's on the table right now. But what I do know is it starts with pitching, doesn't always end with pitching. It starts with pitching, and right now after Cole, it's a struggle. And then when you've got a lineup that is struggling to hit and compete, if it's not Soto or Judge, you've got problems. And I don't know if you are Brian Cashman, what move would be out there that's going to turn this team on its head to get them going back in the right direction.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily dislike the offseason that the Yankees had. I mean, the only gripes that I had before the season, and I don't want to have some sort of revisionist history here, but the gripes that I had, and I've been saying this for years, just like we were saying it with Gary Sanchez, it was time to move on from Gleyber Torres 2 years ago. It just was. And they should have moved on from him in this offseason, and he's been a zero for you again. But I like the fact that they stuck with Volpe and stuck by him. I really like the Verdugo trade. Obviously, everybody loved the Soto trade. I guess the only other thing that you could point to would be that, you know, bringing Anthony Rizzo back and counting on him after last year is something that you could first guess and not second guess. But, I mean, it's not as if Brian Cashman built this horrendous roster, but they've got so many holes right now that guys, you can't fix that at the trade deadline. You can't fix that by bringing guys up from the minor leagues. They've got to count on these players to figure it out. And, I mean, even with the rotation, like, none of us really liked Rodon, but I thought Stroman would come here and be okay. I thought Nestor Cortes was going to be good again. I mean, and I thought Gerrit Cole was going to come back from injury and be great again as well. But it's just, so bottom line, what I'm trying to say in a long roundabout way is, this is not the year for me to really get on Brian Cashman, because I didn't have an issue with this roster going into the season.
No, many didn't. Matter of fact, we were singing his praises 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago for how good they were. And the two names you mentioned, see, Stroman to me is what I thought they were going to get. He's going to give you 5 to 6 innings. He's going to keep you in most games. You know, I don't expect him to go out and give me 6 innings, no runs. I expect from Marcus Stroman kind of what he was yesterday. He's going to give up a few runs. He's going to take you into the 6th inning, and you got to win it from there. So that's been fine. Heel, I didn't expect to be as good as he was early. And maybe he was, you know, a big key to this too. He has kind of fallen off a little bit, as we know, as we've gotten deeper into the season. Now Cole's back. It's those other two. Rodon is supposed to be an ace-like pitcher. He's been bad. I don't care what the record says. He's been bad. And then Cortes, who I love Nestor Cortes, but if he can't pitch at home when he's not pitching on the road, then at what point do we have to start thinking about doing something else with him? Because if you look at the splits, which we talked about last week, it is atrocious on the road. And if he can't pitch here, what good is he? And I don't know what the answer is, because now you need to find starting pitching too. It is a puzzling team to watch. I can only imagine being a Yankee fan, how ticked off I am, confused I am, bored by what they've done. It is really something. And then at some point offensively, you've got to get paid to do a job. You know, a lot of these guys make a lot of money. I can't put it all on Judge and Soto. They've been great, even though they had opportunities yesterday. Someone else up and down that order has got to do something. These stretches of just nothingness is unacceptable.
Yeah, and I do think that, you know, the conversation's been the last number of years. How bad does it have to get for them to actually shake up this organization? And the blueprint is there. If they somehow continue on this pace and either get wiped out as a wild card or somehow miss the postseason and get leapfrogged by the Boston Red Sox or something like that, I mean, then it's time.
That would be one of the big, to go from 28 games over 500 and right on par. I think at one point they had the best record in baseball and the Phillies overtook them. If and we're a long ways from that happening, but if this team ever went from 28 games over 500 to not making the playoffs, would be one of the bigger collapses I think we've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not out of the question. I mean, the pace that they've been on for this long of a time, I mean, they just keep sliding and sliding and sliding back. I mean, you know, and you look at 3 games in the loss up on Boston right now.
It's nothing.
It really isn't.
It's nothing.
Yeah, I mean, and that would be the thing where it's like, okay, I think now it's time to get a fresh set of eyes on this thing and see where we're going. And I mean, imagine that. I mean, if they either have a quick exit in the postseason or miss the postseason, and then, you know, Juan Soto signs elsewhere and we got a new general manager for the Yankees. I mean, it feels like we're at that time finally where there just something has to change. If it continues to go this way,
it is. I know it's a business and I know they're in it to make money. I understand that, but you also want to win championships. If a team like this, with a guy like Juan Soto and Aaron Judge in the lineup, if they can't win playoff series, what does it tell you about spending $600 or $700 million on a single player? Honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, really the only one that has they haven't won a World Series with him, but I mean, that Bryce Harper contract has been great for the Philadelphia Phillies, but mostly it just never works out. I mean, think about it. I mean, maybe, you know, the COVID Dodgers team, but they've had way more failures
successes. What they spend. You're not kidding. I mean, you've got Soto and Judge in New York. You've got, you know, Betts and Ohtani out in Los Angeles. You've got two teams that have spent a fortune on their rosters. You would think that you would have Dodgers, Yankees in the World Series, and that may not happen. Who knows where the Yankees even finish? The Dodgers are going to make the playoffs. I'm pretty sure the Yankees will make the playoffs. But are they World Series teams? I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, basically, if you think about the teams in baseball that have had the most success, like if you think about recent World Series winners and the Atlanta Braves, the Houston Astros, the Texas Rangers. I mean, these are teams, the Braves never bottomed out, but You had two teams in the Rangers and the Astros that did bottom out. And then they drafted well, and then they developed those guys, and they kept most of those guys. They couldn't keep all of them, but they kept most of those guys.
Yep.
And then here and there, they'd get a piece, but it wasn't the most expensive guy in the world.
What are you describing right now? Exactly what the Mets are trying to do.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, I know we don't have patience here, but what you just described is exactly what the Mets are trying to do while staying relevant, which is not easy.
True, because in New York, you really can't bottom out like that.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just not acceptable with the parking and the money and everything. So you got to at least try to be competitive. But yeah, I mean, that's probably what David Stearns is saying. Like, this is how you win a championship. You don't do it by spending the most money and trying to do what the Dodgers do. I mean, for God's sakes, I mean, Shohei Ohtani's been great offensively. He hasn't pitched yet. You signed him to do both. Yamamoto's on the 60-day IL. Mm-hmm. Mookie Betts is out.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing?
Exactly.
Those
not easy.
Super teams don't generally work out, do they?
Nope.
All right, Boomer and Gio with Jerry in for Boomer. Just getting started on this Monday morning. We got CeeLo with us. We'll give you his first update coming up in just a couple of minutes.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Is this the smell of death is around you, the Leonard Skinner song? That's what it sounds like.
No, this is a widespread panic is the group.
Am I close on that?
You're talking about the smell? That smell?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound anything like this.
Really?
No.
Here, I'll play it out.
That smells not.
It's got the same chord progression, though, it does.
This one hits pretty harder.
It hits harder, but it's the same. Got the same chords. It's just
see that's you as a musician.
Yeah, I can't question him.
I don't hear what he hears.
Right.
I hear a little bit of a slower beat.
It's the same three chords. It's just
right. See, I don't know.
A little faster. Yeah. Well, I mean, every song has got the same three chords. You know, over and over again, whether it's country music or rock music or.
Yeah, you'll always see that on YouTube. A big learn these three chords. Play hundreds of songs.
Basically, yes. Mm. I mean, that's what, you know, the blues progression is three chords. I mean, there's a million songs that have that same chord progression. So, I mean, there's only, like, so much new stuff you can do.
Yeah.
You know, like, eventually, that's why people say, oh, you know, this song sounds like this, or this person ripped that person off. And sometimes they do. But sometimes it's not even intentional. It's like, man, I thought I came up with something new, but someone already did this.
Especially when someone digs up a song from 1971 that you don't even know about.
Yeah, and you're thinking
they ripped it off. No, maybe they just came up with the same thing.
Sometimes, but there have been some clear ripoffs.
Yep.
Like obviously the Marvin Gaye, Robin Thicke one was a big one.
Mm-hmm.
And then the greatest one ever was the Vanilla Ice Queen one, where he was trying to claim that was original from Under Pressure to dun 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 dun, dun. And he actually sat in court, Vanilla Ice, and was like, theirs goes dun 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 dun. Mine goes dun 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 bun dun 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 dun. It's like there's that extra note, it's different. The judge was like, what?
The same exact thing.
Yeah, it's the same thing, man.
Yep.
Stop. What's going on, CeeLo?
Good morning. How are we doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Let's get started. We're brought to you by The Farmer's Dog, fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door. Also brought to you by Jack Pocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. Despite Marcus Stroman putting his team in an immediate hole yesterday, as Jerry alluded to there in the open, the Yankees did load the bases against Shane Boz and the Rays each of the first two innings, and they got nothing.
A 1-1. Swinging a hard liner, caught at first base by Paredes. He stole extra bases away from Verdugo. And the Yankees will end the first inning without scoring a run.
And
the pitch hit hard on the ground over to first, backhanded by Paredes. Goes to second for one, over to first. It's in time. Boz, the pitcher, got to first base. And it's an inning-ending double play for the East.
Killer. I was talking about the Verdugo one. Yeah. I mean, he actually hit the damn thing.
Yeah, it was over 100 miles an hour.
Right at the first base.
Soto kind of did as well. Maybe not as hard. But
yes, I think you'd agree, too, on 3-0. I'm looking for him to at least drive the ball in the air. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, something to at least get the run in.
He's a little over-anxious, kind of rolled over on a little bit. Justin Shackle.
I think it was Boz. I think it was him. I thought of Al because he looks like a guy from the 80s with the cheesy blonde mustache and the wave. I don't know. He looked like an 80s player to me.
I can see that. He was
throwbacks.
All fired up after that Soto double play. I mean, they had the bullpen up.
Yeah.
Cash at that point. And obviously, he didn't pitch very long.
They had
a million
guys on base.
Yeah, they did. They did. Well, the second one there, as we said, Juan Soto on a 3-0 pitch, hit it hard into a DP. The Yankees on the day, 2-for-10 with runners in scoring position. They left 9 on base. Rays built a 5-0 lead through 6.5. They hit 4 home runs, including another from Randy Arozarena, who is one of these Yankee killers. They just should not pitch to him, but anytime they do, he seems to hit the ball over the fence. And they did beat the Yankees 6-4. Aaron Judge hit home run number 35. 3-run shot in the 7th, but he just missed with runners aboard in the 9th, flying out to center. Feels the lineup overall.
Also hit the foul one.
Yes.
That
so he was close.
Been. Yeah, he was.
A couple of times, and Austin Wells strikes out looking to end it. He had the Aaron Boone ejection. Here was Judge after the game. Lineup's pressing a bit with runners on base.
I think just kind of looking at it, just trying to do too much. You know, we haven't been really rolling as an offense the past couple of games, you know, except the first game back from the break, but just trying to do too much in a situation like that.
We mentioned Marcus Stroman. He took the loss. 3 runs allowed, 2 earned across 5 1/3. Not too concerned about where the team's at right now, though.
I think we're still a very confident group, just kind of going through one of those spurts. I don't think the confidence has been lost from any individual in this team. I just think, like I said, it's a rough patch, and we're all working towards getting out of it.
It's a long patch, though. That's the problem. This isn't 10 days.
Right.
This has gone on for 5-6 weeks now.
It has. But somehow they're still just 2 back of the Orioles, who failed to complete a road sweep of the Rangers Sunday, losing 3-2. So the Yanks will go for a 4-game split with Tampa this afternoon. Carlos Rodon on the mound. We've got pregame coverage here on The Fan and the free Odyssey app beginning at 12:25. So they can't win the series, which means they've extended their winless series streak at home to 6, which hasn't happened since 2000. We know they won the World Series, but that was a regular season where they struggled down the stretch. They ended up winning 87 games.
Wasn't that when they were awful? The final 2 weeks of September?
Yes, exactly. I haven't looked. I'm guessing that's where maybe that winless stretch at home ended. I don't know exactly, but that's the company that they're in right now. As for the Mets, one of our favorite names in baseball, got the best of them Sunday.
Cracked in the air, deep right field. Taylor looks up. It is gone. Into the Mets bullpen. Chisholm does go with a daddy hack. It's a 3-run shot. Another home run by its Christian Scott.
No trouble for Keith Rad there with
Daddy Hack.
Daddy Hack, yeah. Awesome. He went with the Daddy Hack on 3-2.
Damn it, I talked over the drop.
Jizz.
There it is. Just in case you missed it.
Chiz, Eddie. Chiz.
Oh, man.
I will tell you, I listened to almost all of this game yesterday outside. And I know you guys were talking about Shams Charania, talking about the whole thing with Biden. I learned it from Howie Rose.
There you go.
Listening to the game. And see, then Al, they did a great job, too, yesterday, because then he was talking about when bin Laden was killed. He was on the air in Philly when that news broke. And whoever was back here at 880 did a great job.
Who was on the air in Philly?
Howie was. They were doing a Mets game.
Hi, I'm Howie Rose.
Okay.
And Mets Phillies, when the whole word of bin Laden being killed came out, and they did a really good job at 880. They went and pulled the audio and replayed it during the broadcast.
Oh, nice.
So it's one of those things, if you turn the car on at the wrong time, you heard Howie announcing that bin Laden was killed, like, you would have thought, am I in a time warp? But they did a really good job of getting the audio quickly, too.
That's cool.
It was very well done.
Probably a Ray Martell special there, right?
Probably. Mm, yeah, probably.
You know, with a pen around his neck and a giant Diet Coke.
Yes, you're probably
running
right.
Around trying to find that audio.
Yeah. They did a good job because they got it quickly.
I like that. Jazz Chisholm yanked a 3-2 slider from Scott there for the go-ahead three-run homer in the fourth. Jake Berger later added a solo shot. The Marlins did beat the Mets 4-2.
That was the one, the Berger home run. Like, you could hear it in his voice. Like, the Mets can't drive a damn run in.
Yep.
And then Jake Berger extends the lead off of Hauser, which was, that's the other thing. I know the Mets hit the ball hard this weekend. They did. I'm not going to say they didn't. Friday night, even Saturday, they only won 1-0, but they were hitting the ball hard. Yesterday sucked. I'm talking about boring.
Ugh. This Hauser, man. Anytime, I know they've moved anytime he comes in, he gives up at least a run. The game didn't come down to one pitch, but we're going to focus on Christian Scott here and that fateful one that he threw to Chisholm.
Honestly, exactly where I wanted it. Made a good swing on it. I feel like I've thrown the pitch 100 times, probably get him out most of the times, but I made a good swing. Didn't really feel like it was a mistake. That's kind of exactly where I wanted it, where I expected that ball to end up.
All right, so he felt good about it. Overall, you heard him break down all the specifics there. What did Carlos Mendoza think of the outing from the rookie, and then specifically about that at bat?
One of those that at this level, you know, you have to continue to make pitches. And he did that today with the bases loaded, one out, you know, and got out of it. But then, you know, that next inning, obviously, good hitting on Chisholm, too good of a pitch with two strikes that met him pay.
So,
Chisholm scores. Chisholm scores. Every time I hear that guy comes up, all I hear is Ed Coleman in my head, I swear to God.
Chisholm scores.
That's funny.
Eddie, what a gem.
And Pete Alonso, I mean.
Yeah, I know.
Dude.
Right?
You won $30 million a year. How about we start at 10? My God, man.
Yeah, I mean, is the exact opposite right now. Not the exact opposite, but getting close to the Aaron Judge walk year. We're talking about yin and yang there.
Yeah.
And he better figure it out.
Not kicking going good.
Here, no. At the plate, the Mets were 1-for-8 with runners in scoring position. They struck out 14 times yesterday. Yep. They will go for the split. It's an evening game. David Peterson's on the mound. A 6:40 first pitch over on WCBS.
You got two teams here, and the Yankees and the Mets. You cannot come out and lose these series. Like, you've got to win today and at least salvage the split going into this mess tomorrow night with these two teams.
It's mess tomorrow night.
Well,
yeah. You know what'll happen too. Like, it's an opportunity for one of those two teams to win both, and then they'll split and then you'll just feel
that's a win for the Mets, though. That means the Mets took 3 out of 4, you know, in the year.
Right, from the in the Subway Series for sure. Yeah.
Can't you see Rodon just getting lit up today?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Can you
see him pitching well?
Fair point.
Yeah.
And if he gives up an early run, those Boo Birds are going to be out quickly.
Yeah. Like if he does what Stroman does yesterday, you know, before you sit down, bang.
Yeah.
It's in the seats.
I almost wonder if he takes the mound, he gets booed tonight.
Well, it is a Monday. I know it's the summer.
I know.
It's an afternoon game. So if he does have first inning struggles, perhaps it's a late arriving or a non arriving crowd.
Oh, I thought they were 4:40 today, the Yankees.
It's 105.
Oh, is it 105? Yeah, oh, my bad. I thought they were late afternoon and the Mets were.
Mets are 640, Yanks are 105. 12:25 here on the Fan, Jerry. Coverage. Got it. Let me give you this Luis Severino clip here. This kind of was making the rounds over the weekend, so he's not going to pitch in these two games in the Bronx, but he did kind of poke fun at his former team, and it seemed all in good fun. They've got a group text going, and he kind of takes a little shot at the offense. Longer clip here, but this was the full exchange.
We have a group chat that I always talk about, the guys who've been through the Yankees and stay with the Yankees, and they talk about me when, you know, this the Yankees, oh, you're afraid of us. But I say, like, I'm not afraid. You guys, right now, you only have two good hitters, you know? I can walk those two guys and be. But now, you know, it's always a friendly competition against, the players that you play with. It's going to be fun. But, yeah, hopefully in the future I can play something.
So. He's going to obviously not have to see them this week, so no. Maybe it's a little easier to say that, not having to take the mound, but I mean, he's not wrong.
It's still, he's having a he's chat with friends.
Yeah,
it's fun.
Just,
right. Exactly. It's fine. It's totally fine. But exactly. What was the Aaron Boone, Carlos Mendoza text about?
Like, so they asked Mendoza about it, yeah. And I guess he said, yeah, I got to, you know, because they text regularly. They're buddies. Mendoza was on his staff, and then Mendoza cleaned it up and was just like, hey, I know those guys. It's a good lineup. They got plenty of good guys over there. So he didn't exactly reveal what Boone said.
Okay.
So who knows if that was play for, if he was actually ticked off. I don't know.
No way Aaron Boone could be mad about that.
Al called him a wuss bag this morning for texting.
Who, Aaron Boone?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there is there's potential for wuss bag there, depending on what he texts.
Context is needed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which I don't think we're going to get.
Probably
unless
not.
They asked Boone. I'm sure they asked Boone about it. I'm not sure. I didn't see what he said, but I think the text thing came from Mendoza's answer over the weekend. So we'll see what happens. Speaking of wuss bag, I'm kidding. Max Scherzer, arm fatigue, exited his start early for the
Rangers. No, you're not kidding. That is
on Saturday.
Right,
yeah, well, I mean, his career stands up for itself, but lately, these last couple seasons,
he's gotten older, and he can't pitch.
Not so great. Another injury for the Braves. Ozzie Albies has got a fracture in his
wrist.
Where is it?
Wrist.
Yes, thank you. Left wrist. So he's going to miss 8 weeks. Obviously, if Ronald Acuna Jr. is down, now Albies is going to miss some time. So not that they're really in trouble in the standings, but another one of their regulars that is going to be on the shelf for a while. You've got this, we'll need more details, but this Omar Minaya wife story is just
awful.
So Rachel Minaya found dead in their New Jersey home Saturday. This is according to reports. Was not home at the time of his wife's death. And according to the person who's been briefed by the family, suicide has already been ruled out as the cause of death. So I don't know if she had a medical episode. I don't know if it's foul play, but obviously a tragic situation for the Minayas.
I don't want to sit here and speculate with the little information that we have, but the suicide has been ruled out thing is
quickly,
interesting.
Yeah.
Is interesting that they put that out there because you would think that if it seemed like a medical event, they wouldn't say that. You know?
But I guess just from the theory of, I don't know how old she was, but my guess, Omar's what, in his early 60s? So you would think his wife is somewhere in her late 50s, early 60s. You wouldn't expect someone just to die in their sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if that, I don't know, just it's terrible.
I don't know. Omar is not that it says anything about his wife, but he is 65. He'd be 66 in November. So don't know, but something to keep an eye on the rest of the way. Jets and Giants reporting for training camp coming up tomorrow. Al was all hot and bothered about Daniel Jones's answer or what he felt was an evasive answer.
He gave an Aaron Rodgers answer.
Yeah, but I mean, they asked him multiple times, you fully cleared, and he said, I'm ready for training camp. So to me, that's a yes.
He danced around it.
All right. Well, I guess we'll find out when they get out on the practice field.
We will know soon enough.
Yes.
Yep.
There you go.
I did enjoy, and Xander Schauffele won the British Open.
I know. Gio's looking at me to finish up.
No, I wasn't.
Oh, you weren't?
No, I really was not.
65.
You read
final
that
round, back nine. Stout, he wins by two over Justin Rose and Billy Horschel.
Mm-hmm.
You had all kinds of, I saw some of them talking about the hardest back nine they ever played in the rain
Scotty
and the wind.
Said that, yeah.
Dustin Johnson as well, talking about him and Koepka, as long as they are, having to hit, you know, two really strong shots into these par fours.
Meantime, on Thursday, one guy drove the ball 445.
Right, yeah. You get the right wind.
Yeah.
The ball bounces. Did you see Horschel got one over the bridge to clear one of the burns?
Yeah.
It happened to just a little narrow.
It hit the bridge, right?
It rolled across the bridge, and it wasn't a wide bridge either. So, you know, the quirky courses of the British Open. So
nice $3 million for
that. That wasn't Horschel, was it?
Well, I thought it was.
That was Brian Harman, I think.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right about that.
But lefty? Anyway.
Yeah. All right, CeeLo.
Two majors in 1 year for Xander.
Yeah, pretty
Shutting
good.
Up all the critics, myself included.
Yeah.
Never been a Xander guy. But
yeah, me neither,
two
but
majors.
Respect, right?
Yep, 100%.
Respect.
The Morning Show with Boomer and Gio.
Yeah, here we go. Boomer and Gio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I mean, the Vanilla Ice one is a little different than that. You know, there is that extra note that is in there. So maybe whatever his face, Rob something that is Vanilla Ice. Maybe he was right about it. Maybe he should have never been charged a gazillion dollars. Here's the other one. See? Yeah, it's that extra note.
VIP.
Boy.
Let's kick it.
What a time, huh? What a time to
be
alive.
He was hot for a while, man.
He certainly was. All right, stop.
Collaborate and listen. Millions of records sold.
I can't think of another Vanilla Ice song. Can you? There's got to be another one. What was it on Spotify? What was the second most popular song? See if we even know it.
Well, he's multiple versions of Ice Ice Baby. And then the second one is something called Play That Funky Music.
Oh, yeah.
You know that one?
I do. And he did the Play the Funky that. Music White Boy. Yeah.
I'm going to say, we know that song.
Right.
Right. Yeah, he did.
It was Wild Cherry, right?
Yeah.
The original.
Right, right. Very original, this Vanilla Ice. Oh boy. Oh boy.
And then he became, was it him that became the guy that flips houses in Florida?
Yes.
It was,
oh,
right?
Really?
Yeah, like he goes and buys distressed mansions and turns them into, I mean, not turns them, but like rehabs them, and they are gorgeous.
And he actually does the work?
He actually does do part of the work, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I watched that for probably 5-6 years ago, maybe. I don't know if he still does it. I'm sure his company probably still does it. But he had a show on one of those, TLC or one of those channels. I forget which one it was.
It was like the DIY network.
Maybe that's what it was. It was actually a pretty cool show. He would go with bulldozers and just completely renovate the backyards, and they would tear apart these million-dollar mansions in South Florida.
But then they looked exactly like some other house.
Right. The house down the block that he ripped off the idea from. Speaking of rappers and musicians, so Pitbull does the halftime show at the WNBA All-Star Game. And trust me, I am in no way, and if you listen to this show, in no way a prude. I am not criticizing any woman for dancing or dressing a certain way. It doesn't bother me at all. But it is funny to me and seems a little bit hypocritical, just a little. When Pitbull says, I was raised by a woman and a woman made me a man. It's an honor to make history and perform at the WNBA All-Star Game. Here's to all the powerful women of the WNBA. And then he posts the video of the halftime show. He says, this goes out to all the powerful women. As he's performing with 6 women behind him, where they bend over every 3 seconds and show you the full complement of their ass cheeks. And also have really short shirts on where you see the boobies bouncing around.
I'm sure.
So it's like, which I got no problem with. But like, let's not pretend you're Maya Angelou. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it.
I mean, it's just so funny. Because, I mean, he actually, in this post, this goes out to all the powerful women. And you watch the video, within 2 seconds, they're bent over with a thong.
I know.
Right up their butt.
Well, listen, this conversation we could have from here to the end of eternity when we talk about what you can say, what you can't say, and then some of these songs that come out. And what is played over the air?
Oh yeah,
is head scratching.
Right. My favorite was when they got rid of "Baby, It's Cold Outside" because it seemed like there was lyrics in there that were questionable. But yet, the number one song in America at that time was "WAP," which was "Wet Ass
Blank."
Yeah, it's like
you've come up with the last word.
What do we do?
Yeah.
Baby, it's cold outside. Can't do that. Sounds a little too rapey to me. But WAP!
Oh, God.
Let's go. Let's just play that with the windows
and
down.
And that's just one example of many.
Yep. Brian in Milltown. What's going on, Brian?
Hey, guys. I just want to say, so I was listening. I don't have the Spotify stuff in front of me, but from what I remember, Vanilla's second biggest hit was off, I believe, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 soundtrack called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Rap. And
wow.
That was a huge hit.
Was it? I don't remember. You probably
hit with the kids, maybe, you mean?
I mean, I was probably 17, 18 at the time.
Wow.
So
you have to be a little bit older than me then, I think. Because I remember being younger than that. But I don't remember that. I remember the original movie. I don't remember the second one. Do you have that up there? All right, let's take a listen, Brian. Is this the one you're talking about, Brian?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it sounds right. I haven't listened to it
25 years.
But. Good memory, though.
Yo, it's the Green Machine. Gonna rock the town without being seen. Have you ever
definitely
seen
it.
Yeah, definitely is.
Slamming and jamming to the new swing sound. Yeah.
I don't remember this one at all.
Yeah, this one, this is after I watched the Turtles as a kid and before my kids watched them. I don't know this one.
Yeah. So this is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
Yeah, I don't know this one.
Who's your favorite Ninja Turtle?
Oh, I don't know. Probably
Michelangelo. Michelangelo.
I was going to say, yeah. I still like the Splinter.
Yeah, Splinter was great. I don't know. I feel like I...
That sounds like Go New York Go right there.
Yeah. It basically is. Lyrics.
Which would make sense because they were in the sewers of the city. I mean,
that's
that makes
right.
Sense.
Yeah.
You know?
I felt like my favorite was Leonardo, okay. But then everybody liked Leonardo, so then I gravitated toward Raphael.
Raphael.
Because Raphael was sort of, he wasn't appreciated. Much like the White Stone Bridge. Like everybody takes the Throg's neck, but the White Stone's right there.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So I felt like, you know what, let me give Raphael some support.
Yeah! Think about how long they've been. We use the word relevance with the Mets. Think about how long the Turtles have been relevant.
The Teenage Mutant pop culture. Ninja
yeah.
Turtles.
Yeah,
I know. I mean, they just had, what was it, last year, the year before they came out with another movie?
Yes, they
movie?
Did. Like when I was also a kid, He-Man was a big cartoon.
Yeah.
Inspector Gadget. No staying power.
Right.
The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles have been doing it for as long as I can remember.
It's Turtles in a half shell.
Turtle power.
Kind of like SpongeBob.
Yeah.
Is still out there making cartoons.
Yeah, He-Man. I remember He-Man.
From the Powers of Grayscale, right?
Yeah. I used to watch He-Man as a child.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you look back on those He-Man things.
Thundercats. I was a big fan.
Thundercats.
Because my sister was born in 1980, so I had a whole redo of watching cartoons.
Yeah. That was a good time. I mean, I didn't watch a lot of Saturday morning cartoons, but I remember watching He-Man all the time. There was another... You know what? DuckTales was another
DuckTales,
one.
Sure.
I remember watching DuckTales.
Yep.
Yeah. There's others that my brain, I'm like dusting off the cobwebs, but those are the two.
I mentioned Inspector Gadget. I love that.
Yeah,
I thought
yeah.
that was fantastic.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Scooby-Doo. I used to watch the Scooby-Doo stuff. I don't want to talk about formulaic. I mean, every Scooby-Doo episode was the same thing. Ripped the mask off the guy and then another mask. I would have gotten away with it. It wasn't really stupid kids.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Yeah, here we go. Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
I mean, the vanilla ice one is a little different than that. You know, there is that extra note that is in there. So maybe whatever his face, Rob something that is vanilla ice, maybe he was right about it. Maybe he should have never been charged a gazillion dollars. Here's the other one. See? He adds that extra note.
Yo, VIP.
Boy.
Let's kick it.
What a time, huh? What a time to
he
be alive.
He was hot for a while, man.
He certainly was.
All right, stop. Collaborate and listen.
millions of records sold.
I can't think of another Vanilla Ice song. Can you? There's got to be another one. What was it on Spotify? What was his second most popular song? See if we even know it.
Well, he's multiple versions of Ice Ice Baby. And then the second one is something called Play That Funky Music.
Oh, yeah.
You know that one?
I do. And well, he did the Play the Funky that. Music White Boy. Yeah.
We know that song.
Right.
Right. Yeah, he did.
It was Wild Cherry, right?
Yeah.
The original.
Right, right. Very original, this Vanilla Ice. Oh boy.
And then he became, was it him that became the guy that flips houses in Florida?
Yes.
It was,
oh,
right?
Really?
Yeah, like he goes and buys distressed mansions and turns them into, I mean, not turns them, but like rehabs them, and they are gorgeous.
And he actually does the work?
He actually does do part of the work, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I watched that for probably 5-6 years ago, maybe. I don't know if he still does it. I'm sure his company probably still does it. But he had a show on one of those, TLC or one of those channels. I forget which one it was.
It was like the DIY network.
Maybe that's what it was. It was actually a pretty cool show. He would go with bulldozers and just completely renovate the backyards, and they would tear apart these million-dollar mansions in South Florida.
But then they looked exactly like some other house.
Right.
The house down the block that he ripped off the idea from. Speaking of rappers and musicians, so Pitbull does the halftime show at the WNBA All-Star Game. And trust me, I am in no way, and if you listen to this show, in no way a prude. I am not criticizing any woman for dancing or dressing a certain way. It doesn't bother me at all, but it is funny to me and seems a little bit hypocritical, just a little. When Pitbull says, "I was raised by a woman and a woman made me a man. It's an honor to make history and perform at the WNBA All-Star Game. Here's to all the powerful women of the WNBA." And then he posts the video of the halftime show. And he says, "This goes out to all the powerful women." As he's performing with 6 women behind him, where they bend over every 3 seconds and show you the full complement of their ass cheeks. And also have really short shirts on where you see the boobies bouncing around.
I'm sure.
So it's like, which I got no problem with, but like, let's not pretend you're Maya Angelou. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it.
I mean, it's just so funny because, I mean, he actually in this post, this goes out to all the powerful women, and you watch the video, within 2 seconds, they're bent over with a thong.
I know.
Right up their butt.
Well, listen, this conversation we could have from here to the end of eternity when we talk about what you can say, what you can't say, and then some of these songs that come out. And what is played over the air?
Oh yeah,
is head scratching.
Right. My favorite was when they got rid of "Baby, It's Cold Outside" because it seemed like there was lyrics in there that were questionable. But yet, the number one song in America at the time was "WAP," which was "Wet Ass
Blank."
Yeah, it's like
you come up with the last word.
What do we do?
Yeah.
"Baby, It's Cold Outside." Can't do that. Sounds a little too rapey to me. But "WAP."
Oh, God.
Let's go. Let's just play that with the windows
down. And that's just one example of many.
Yep. Brian in Milltown. What's going on, Brian?
Hey, guys. That's one thing. I was listening. I don't have the Spotify stuff in front of me, but from what I remember, Vanilla's second biggest hit was off, I believe, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 soundtrack called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Rap. And
wow.
That was a huge hit.
Was it? I see. I don't remember. You probably
With the kids, maybe, you mean?
I mean, I was probably 17, 18 at the time. Wow. So
I have to be a little bit older than me then, I think, because I remember being younger than that. But I don't remember that. I remember the original movie. I don't remember the second one. Do you have that up there? All right, let's take a listen, Brian. Is this the one you're talking about, Brian?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it sounds right. I haven't listened to it in 25 years.
But... Good memory, though. Yo, it's the Green Machine. Gonna rock the town without being seen. Have you ever
definitely
seen
it? Yeah,
definitely is. Slamming and jamming to the new swing sound. Yeah. I don't remember this one at all.
Yeah, this is after I watched the Turtles as a kid and before my kids watched them. I don't know this one.
Yeah. So this is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
Yeah, I don't know this one.
Who was your favorite Ninja Turtle?
Oh, I don't know. Probably
Michelangelo.
I was going to say, yeah. I still like the Splinter.
Yeah, Splinter was great. I don't know. I feel like I...
That sounds like Go New York Go right there.
Yeah. It basically is. Lyrics.
Which would make sense because they were in the sewers of the city. I mean,
that's
that makes
right.
Sense.
Yeah.
You know?
I felt like my favorite was Leonardo, but then everybody liked Leonardo, so then I gravitated toward Raphael.
Raphael.
Because Raphael was sort of, he wasn't appreciated. Much like the White Stone Bridge. Like, everybody takes the Throg's neck, but the White Stone's right there.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So I felt like, you know what, let me give Raphael some support.
Yeah! Think about how long they've been. We use the word relevance with the Mets. Think about how long the Turtles have been relevant.
The Teenage Mutant Pop Culture Ninja Turtles.
Yeah,
I know. I mean, they just had, what was it, last year, the year before, they came out with another movie?
Yes, they
movie?
Did. Like, when I was also a kid, He-Man was a big cartoon.
Yeah.
Inspector Gadget. No staying power.
Right.
The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles have been doing it for as long as I can remember.
It's Turtles in a half shell.
Turtle power.
Yeah.
Kind of like SpongeBob.
Yeah.
Is still out there making cartoons.
Yeah, He-Man. I remember He-Man.
From the Powers of Grayscale, right?
Yeah. I used to watch He-Man as a child.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you look back on those He-Man things.
Thundercats. I was a big fan.
Thundercats.
Because my sister was born in 1980, so I had a whole redo of watching cartoons.
Yeah. That was a good time. I mean, I didn't watch a lot of Saturday morning cartoons, but I remember watching He-Man all the time. There was another... You know what? DuckTales was another
DuckTales,
one.
DuckTales, sure.
I remember watching DuckTales.
Yep.
Yeah. There's others that in my brain I'm like dusting off the cobwebs, but those are the two.
I mentioned Inspector Gadget. I love that.
Yeah,
I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Scooby-Doo. I used to watch the Scooby-Doo stuff. I don't want to talk about formulaic. I mean, every Scooby-Doo episode was the same thing. Ripped the mask off the guy and then another mask. I would have gotten away with it. It wasn't real stupid kids.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.